Well, today is Mother's Day, and it's a wonderful day. It's a day that we celebrate. I love what Pastor Cindy had to say about it this morning. And, you know, there's just something about, we know that God is a male in the sense of he's not biological because he's, you know, he's not limited to a body like us. But we know that the Bible calls him Father, doesn't call him Mother, calls him He, doesn't call him She. Some people are getting that all twisted. But at the same time, both fathers and mothers come from the Father, right? He created us, men and women, in His image, right? And so what He displays through fathers and mothers are like, it's like the fullness of who He is and the hearts and the way, you know, the way He looks at us. And so He is a Father who watches over and protects and does all the things that a father does and corrects and so on and so forth. But he's also has that nurturing side about him where he loves us and he takes care of us and he provides for us in that way. And so, you know, I've said it many, many times before, but you all, if you've been with us for a while, you know my story. You know that, you know, the doctors tried to tell my mother, you know, and tried to encourage her to abort me because they said she wouldn't make it, and I probably wouldn't make it. And if I did, I'd be, you know, deformed or severely retarded was the word they used. So, but truth of the matter is, God knew all along. He had a plan, had something else in mind. And I've often said, I'm so grateful that my mother, although she didn't even know the Lord at that time in a born again experience, still said, I could never allow my child's life to be taken, was willing to lay her own life down so that I could live. And so I'm so thankful, but that reflects the heart of God. Even though she wasn't a born-again Christian, just as a human being, that was something that God had put in her. And so I'm so thankful for that, and I'm thankful for the mother of my kids and as well, and her desire to see our kids and grandkids grow up and know the Lord and just, you know, try to show them the right way. So we're so thankful, but I don't have time to really do the message that I was going to do today. We're going to have to finish that next week. But I do want to say this because it has to do with, this is Mother's Day. And so this has really been just something that's really been in my heart. I really, until very recently, never saw it this way. And I mentioned it last week that, you know, we're talking about two gates and two roads in the message that we talked about last week. And it has to do with Jesus saying to choose the narrow way. And if you can pull that scripture on up there, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, we are going to hit on this. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. And this is what, it just strikes me when I see that, especially that last phrase, small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. That had to be absolutely heartbreaking for Jesus to have to say. Now think about it. His whole purpose was to come to the earth to provide a way of escape, to provide a way off of this, the broad road that leads to death, and to allow people to have an option to get off of that and to take the road that leads to life. But in order to get through the road or to the road that leads to life, you have to go through the small, the narrow way. And Jesus said, I am that way. And so, unfortunately, we have in the churches, especially in America, and they did the same thing in Europe, as we have tried to take the narrow, small way, and we've tried to widen it. We've tried to make it bigger. We tried to make it taller and wider. Why? So that we could take all our stuff in there with us. Because we're not willing to leave everything behind. And again, the mindset of most of American Christians is that Jesus was just something or someone that was added to their life to make their life better. And they don't understand that Jesus didn't come to make their life better. He drove up into your situation with a bulldozer. And his desire was to absolutely, completely do away with the old life and all of the remnants of the old life and everything that had to do with the old life so that he can give you a brand new life. Now, what does this have to do with mothers on Mother's Day? the fact that, and I said it last week, but it's such a reality to me that when we came into this world, we came with nothing. When we were born, we came with nothing. We didn't choose how we would be born. We didn't choose the passageway we would be born through. Understand? We had nothing to do with it. God ordained the way we would be born. And he's the one that, I mean, he put that into women. That's what turns women into mothers, right? And it just dawned on me, all these years I've served the Lord, all these years I've talked about being born again, and I've said all that. But the truth of the matter is that God says, Jesus used the language, you must be born again. And so that makes us have to look at and compare it to being born. And when I'm born, it's a very narrow way that I come through, and I don't take anything with me. When I'm born naked and bare. And understand, when you get born again, it's naked and bare. You can't bring anything with you. And the beautiful thing is that not only do the past accomplishments have to go, but the past failures also have to go. Nothing goes with me. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old is gone and the new has come. And I think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and I think about the fact that she was, you know, even Jesus had to be born in the natural sense into this world the same way. But Mary, the mother of Jesus, some people call her Mary, the mother of God, and they have, you know, they say other things that they add to. Some people believe she was sinless, and some people believe she had no other children and all of that kind of stuff. I don't believe that because that's not what the Bible teaches. In fact, Mary was a person just like you or me. She just was a person who loved God, and I believe that about her. And God did say that she was blessed among women, right? But, and so there's no doubt about that. But she was a person just like you and me, and her sins had to be forgiven just like you and me. Now, some people would think I'm being blasphemous by saying that, but think about this. Mary, even though she was the mother of Jesus, even though she had a word from God about him, even though she knew he was going to be the Messiah, she didn't understand exactly what that meant. And we know that because she thought Jesus was messing everything up at one time. How do we know? Because we see that Mary and all of her kids showed up one day where Jesus was, and they were showing up to do an intervention. They said, Jesus, you have lost your cotton picking mind. And so they said, we got to go stop him. He's gone nuts. And so then they come in, they say, hey, your mother and your brothers are out there. And he says, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Right? So he who does the will of the Lord. So here's the thing. Mary didn't even understand what Jesus actually came to do. She thought he'd be the Messiah, but she had the same mindset that everybody else in that day had, that he would be a political Messiah, a military Messiah, someone who would free them from the oppression of the Romans. But how many of you know, even if he'd done that, that's just a temporary thing. Jesus said, I got something bigger up my sleeve. I'm not just going to free you from the Romans, but I'm going to free you from the oppression of the devil himself and everything that wickedness and hell has brought upon this earth. But I'm thankful because that happened through the obedience of a mother. The Apostle Paul says, he says that women, now this is can be a confusing scripture to people. It was confusing to me for a long time. But he says that women would be saved through childbearing. Now, I've heard ignorant people teach that that meant that the only way a woman can be saved is she has to have a child. Now, I'm telling you, the people actually teach that. But I'm telling you that, of course, that's not how we're saved. We're not saved by having a child. We're saved because a woman had a child. And so women are saved by childbearing the same way men are saved by childbearing, because one lady said, be it unto me as your word has said. And when that happened, I believe that's when the seed of God's word came alive in her. That's when that thing, you know, it wasn't a natural physical seed that caused Jesus to come about, to be conceived, but it was the seed of the word of God. In John 1:1, it says he is the word, right? In the beginning was the word, talking about Jesus. So the seed of God's word, when planted in Mary's heart, She said, be it unto me just as your word has said. There it was. And I want to tell you, it works the same way with us. See, we can learn something from Mary. We can learn something from mamas, that when that seed takes place, it comes into our life. And when we allow that thing, when we come into agreement with what God has said, that thing will birth something in us, and it'll birth something beautiful in us. Now, here's the other side. If we come into agreement with what the other guy has said, when we take his seed into us and we come into agreement, then we birth things in us that we don't want. Right? And I'm not talking about that bad kid you got either. I'm talking about on a spiritual level, okay? We come into agreement with the enemy. So we want to come into agreement with God. Now, here's the thing, and we're going to wrap it up with this. There is only one way. Jesus said, few will find that way. And I'm convinced that there are people sitting in churches all over this country, at those that even bother to go to church, because many don't even bother to do that now. And then there are those who, even though they say they're going to church, they're really sitting in their living room eating cereal in their pajamas and watching it on a screen and telling people they went to church. And then you got pastors who figured out it'd be a lot less trouble if we just get on the video. I don't have to deal with all them people then. I just talk to them on a video, get them to send their money in. Look, that's happening. That's happening. Thousands of churches are doing that now. They don't even meet anymore. Still, COVID did them a favor. Them pastors don't have to deal with them people at all anymore. But they're never going to see the manifestation of the power of God in the presence of God amongst the people of God, because they've given that up now for an easy way. It wasn't the way that he prescribed. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Even so, more so as the day approaches, right? So here's the thing. Again, I'm not giving you the message I was going to give you today, but we'll do that next week. But here's the thing. I want to have a heart like Mary. I'm a man, but I want to have a heart like Mary that says, Father, be it unto me as your word has said. Amen. I want to follow the example of Mary. I want to follow the example of ladies who give birth, who make the right choice to give birth, to give life when the enemy is wanting to bring death. I believe us men, we can learn from that. Amen. And I want to make sure that the gate that we're leading people through is the right gate, and we're not trying to broaden the gate. See, we want the gate to be wider for other people because we want the gate to be wider for us. And over again, I've seen this happen over and over again. People make excuses for their sin. They push the grace of God to a place that the grace of God was never intended to be pushed to. They say, well, this is what I want. And they believe that God came to fulfill all of their wishes and so on and so forth. What are they doing? They're trying to make that gate wider. But Jesus said, only a few will find the real gate, the real way. Now, that ought to break your heart. It breaks my heart, I know it breaks God's heart, that of all the billions and billions of people that have lived and ever will live on this earth, only a few find it. Now, we don't know what that few is. We don't know what that number is. But can I tell you, I want to be part of the few. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I want to be part of the few. Tell them, I want you to be part of the few. Tell them, make sure you go through the right gate. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, I'm going to stop right there. And we'll get into this message and do what we were going to do possibly next week. We'll see what the Lord does. Who knows? Fire may fall in this house and I say nothing. You know, I don't know. It's whatever the Lord wants. But, you know, my heart's desire, I think, you know, as a pastor, understand that my job as a pastor and Pastor Cindy's as well is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. I just want it to be done the right way. You know, I want to tell you, there for a long time, I didn't understand these things that I'm talking about today. You know, I was one that really kind of pushed the grace card a little too much, right? Love, 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 love. But understand, he does love. But in his love, he wants us to know the truth, that so that we don't have end up with some kind of a false conversion and think we're okay when we're not. That wouldn't be love. Amen? Please, when you're presenting Jesus to people, understand, you don't have to make it easy for them. He's made it as easy as it needs to be. But even in that, he says, it has to be my way. I'm tired of seeing people have false conversions. Nothing changes in their life. They still live in sin the same way they've always lived in sin, and nothing changes. People need the real thing. Amen. So listen, whatever the Lord is saying to you in this moment, I don't know, maybe some of you realize, you know, I kind of tried to get through that wide gate. I tried to take some stuff with me through the gate. I want to tell you, you can't. If you go through the right gate, you can't even take your clothes with you. Father, thank you that you are truthful with us, that you love us enough to speak the truth to us. God, we thank you for your word that cannot fail. We thank you that your word is pure, Lord, and no man can change it. Lord, your word is your word. Jesus, we thank you that you made a way and you prescribed that way. Lord, you demonstrated that way to us. And so, Lord, as we enter through that gate, Lord, even now as we back up and look and make sure we're in the right place on the right road, God, as we make choices for our future, Lord, I pray that we would always do it your way. Lord, we don't want to just do stuff according to our own emotions or our own messed up thinking. We want to do it your way, God. Lord Jesus, you said you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life, and no one comes to the Father except through you. So Lord, may we live in a way that always brings honor and glory to you. Now Lord, I thank you for the moms who are in this house today. I thank you, Father, that they have taken on your heart for your children. Lord, I thank you for the dads that are here as well. Lord, and I thank you that it takes both to make the family, God. It takes both to produce a child. But Lord, I thank you for what you have put in women that we can see and that we can understand about your heart. And Lord, I pray just bless the moms today. Bless them, Father. I pray bless them in ways, God, that they've never experienced before. Lord, I pray, Lord, even if there are those here who maybe they've never had a biological child, Father, for whatever reason. But Lord, I thank you that they can birth spiritual children and they can be spiritual mothers, God, to those who desperately need it. And Lord, I thank you that your blessing and your anointing is upon them all today. Lord, when we leave this place today, Lord, we want to go out with a mindset, Lord, that we want to be productive for your kingdom, that we live and move and have our being in you, God, that the whole reason for our existence is to glorify you, Father. Now, Lord, I thank you for your anointing that's upon this people. I thank you, Father God, Lord, that same fire, that same power, that same presence, Lord, resides in them. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in them, Father. I pray use them for your glory. May healings happen at their hands, Father, and through the words that flow out of their lips, Father. May miracles and signs and wonders manifest. And we thank you for it, Jesus. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. If you're in agreement, why don't you shout amen. Amen.